This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And our final guest of today is in the studio with us. We have Gus Berger, who is a filmmaker, who's going to chat with us about the Lost City of Melbourne, but also about his connections to theatres generally, because you've got your hand in a few pies there, I think, Gus.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, come on, give us your background. Tell us who you are. Even though you've been on, I think you've been on Sunday Arts a couple of times, but a fair while ago.
I was trying to remember the first time. It may have been talking about the revival of the old George Cinema about 8 years ago, maybe, that we had a short-term lease
over that building. That's right, yes. Yeah.
Seems like a lifetime away now.
And then, more so, and you've got it still to this day, the Thornbury Picture House.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful place. But so tell our audience, if they don't know who you are.
Well, I'm a kind of a filmmaker and a cinema owner, I guess. I've been running film events in Melbourne and the UK for about 15 years, I'd say. Started running documentary films in London at a small organisation called Dockhouse, and this was at a time where not many documentary films were being played theatrically in cinemas. So myself and a small team, my boss was she'd been teaching documentary film at the National Film School for years and knew a lot about documentary films, so and loved those films. And so we would pick up films from festivals and give them runs in cinemas in London, like the Ritzy and the ICA. Yeah. And
are you English or did you just go?
No, I've lived about 10 years over there.
Right.
But yeah.
So that was a great grounding
point. That was a good grounding point. Yeah. Came back to Melbourne, started running film events at Acme, short films and music videos. It was called Red Hot Shorts, and had an outdoor cinema that was doing sort of pop-up film events. And yep. So we'd like go into crazy places like the old City Watch House in Russell Street and put on Chopper in the male exercise yard and stuff like that.
Brilliant.
So it was sort of all kind of leading, I guess, up to finding a place of my own where I could sort of, you know, have my own space and it wasn't kind of, you know, renting places of other people and not taking the bar proceeds. And, and it's really hard to make any money from those events because of, you know, the high fee and the fact that you don't get any of the sort of the bar sales and stuff, and you've got to promote it and all of that stuff and pay for the film rights. Yeah. So that kind of led to having my own place, my own.
So here it is. It's an old petrol station.
Yeah.
On a corner? Where is it?
In High Street, Thornbury.
Right.
High Street in Pender Street.
Okay. And you've done it cleverly because you've still kept the veranda area that would have been the drive-through of the old picture theatre.
Yeah.
But it's a really nice vibe to it, isn't it?
Yeah. We're really lucky. You know, I live in Brunswick, so it's not that far, but we've got an amazing community of people up there in Thornbury, and they really support us, and they've supported us right from the get-go, really. Like, we sort of were, you know, pretty busy, you know, within the first week, and you were there on the first night.
Yeah.
I was definitely attracted. I've been looking for kind of a building in that area of that size, and I'd always had my eye on that particular building.
Right.
It was such a lovely old petrol station. It was kind of on that bygone era of servos, wasn't it? Because it was so small. I mean, you would have, you know, those big cars of today wouldn't even fit through that little drive-through.
Well, especially the high ones.
Yeah, definitely not.
But, you know, but it's gutsy that you've done it, Gus, because you never know if something like that's going to work and the outlay of it all. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thanks, David. Yeah, it was definitely a risk. But I think that from running pop-up events and doing quite a few outdoor film events in that area, and also we did a couple of pop-up film events at the Thornbury Theatre. We did some pop-up events at the Northcote Theatre, which was the old Regal Ballroom. Beautiful space, like another 100-year-old Melbourne theatre. And so they always had really good audiences. Like, we put on Cinema Paradiso and The Godfather and, you know, sort of classic films, and they all kind of worked there. So I had a feeling that we'd have a market if for doing something like that.
And so what sort of films can people expect to see if they come to your picture house?
Well, we've got Summer with Monica, Ingmar Bergman's film, playing tonight and tomorrow. We've got Princess Mononoke, the Studio Ghibli film for 25 years. Also, that was playing this morning. And we've got Elvis playing in about half an hour. So it's kind of a mix.
The current.
Yeah, the current Elvis.
Oh, so you do current films?
Yeah, we do current films. We're showing Where the Crawdads Sing, for example, next week. So we don't show them all, but if we feel that a film comes along that's, you know, suited for our audience, we'll show that.
Because it's not all that big, the theatre, is it? How many does it hold?
60.
60?
Yeah, so it's small, and we've only got one screen.
Right.
So
it's not a multiplex.
It's not a multiplex, but the distributors still make us play their films like over and over again every day if we want them early.
Yeah.
So that's a constant sort of, kind of fitting all of those films into one screen is always a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I could imagine. All right. Now, let's talk about, I've seen the trailer and I mentioned to you off air. It's so upsetting when you see this bulldozer come in and knock down the walls of a beautiful old theatre in Melbourne. What's this doco that you've made?
It's called The Lost City of Melbourne, and it's about... it's kind of about what Melbourne was like before the demolition blitz of the 50s and 60s. Mm. And it was kind of the idea started during the first lockdowns, I guess, of Melbourne, where I had to close the cinema and spent quite a bit of time kind of, you know, trying to make sure that the cinema was going to survive those lockdowns. And I had a feeling that it wasn't going to be a short thing, those initial COVID lockdowns. So I started sort of researching sort of Melbourne and what Melbourne looked like at the turn of the century, and going through photographs at the State Library of Victoria and then archive film at the National Film and Sound Archive, and just was amazed at some of the buildings and the cinemas that we had in Melbourne that we don't have anymore.
Yeah. And also because Melbourne was the richest city in the world at one stage too, wasn't it? You know, like, and so therefore the building was crazy.
Yeah. Melbourne was incredible. It was, there was a lot of money around from the 1850s sort of onwards, and there was a boom in 1880. And incredible buildings went up. Like, for a while there, we had the tallest buildings in the world, the APA Tower, the Australia Building. They were up there with Chicago and New York, some really grand hotels, Menzies Hotel, Federal Hotel, Scotts Hotel. So there were a lot of people coming here as well. It wasn't just Melburnians. There was a lot of overseas travellers coming here. And we were actually really lucky to have early cinema happening in Melbourne. The Lumiere brothers sort of sent out one of their people, and they arrived in Melbourne kind of by accident with all of their equipment. And we had the theatres to sort of host the equipments and host the film events. And so cinema was, we were one of the early proponents of cinema in the world in Melbourne.
Yeah, and the Mariner Group, who have got a lot of the theatres now, you know, like they were, Jason Mariner was telling me the other day that they had the first talkie, you know, the Jolson story, fresh off the boat, was playing, I think it was at the Forum it played. So, and thank God that the Mariners have kept hold of some of the beautiful classic theatres.
Yeah, definitely. And the film, you know, it is kind of, you know, a lot of it is kind of bleak in the sense of, you know, we have found some incredible footage of these demolitions that you spoke about. But it's not kind of all doom and gloom. Like, we do celebrate at the end of the film what we do have left. And we got some amazing photography of the city on a really beautiful, bright autumn day, sort of celebrating what we've got left. And we do pay respects to the Mariner Group because they were able to monetize a lot of these cinemas and theatres, and not just for film but for musicals. And, an historian that we spoke to, Graham Davidson, who's written a number of books on Melbourne, admits that, you know, if it wasn't for that intervention by an entrepreneur, basically, we probably would have lost a lot more buildings in Melbourne, because at the time there just wasn't a heritage movement. There was no protection.
And what was the response from people at the time when all these buildings were being pulled down? I imagine it was for the 1956 Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, how did the community feel about that?
Well, I think that at the time, like at sort of 56, there wasn't much opposition to a lot of these buildings coming down. I think that the idea that of all these people and all these cameras converging on Melbourne for the 56 Olympics and also for 54 for the Queen's visit, there was this sort of fear that we'd look too Victorian and old-fashioned and we weren't modern like the other big cities.
You've got to pull down to build the new buildings syndrome. Yeah.
And so there wasn't much opposition when a lot of these buildings, because it was all about modern. Mm. And it was all about wanting Melbourne to kind of be this new modern metropolis, and we were kind of stuck. It wasn't really until we almost lost the Regent that that was like galvanised the population.
Yeah, well, and the interesting thing is the ballroom underneath, which is so spectacular, there was the fountain that was in the square, the city square there, that leaked in, and that was it was underwater.
Oh, right.
And they had to, you know, like pump all the water out and rebuild that beautiful ballroom that's downstairs there.
Yeah, I didn't realise that it had been derelict for a long time.
Yeah.
Our squatters were in there, and and I think that there were plans afoot to put like a casino in there.
Oh,
like
no.
I sort of found some ABC archive of like this grand plan for all these pokey tables and tabouret machines. It's like, oh my god, what were they thinking at the time?
So. What do you want to achieve with this? And you're like, and you've got a crowdfunding going, which is, you know, like, because we all know the cost of making a film is not cheap.
Mm.
What are you doing here with it?
Well, I was sort of very lucky to kind of I got to a point, I guess, where it was just going to be a project to see what I could do within the time that I had, because I knew that. You know, from experience of opening up the cinema when lockdown stopped and then they started again, it just took up all of my time. And I knew that if once we were going to open for, you know, permanently or semi-permanently, I knew I wouldn't have time to finish it. So I was really trying to kind of get as much done during that lockdown period as I could. And then by the end of it, I sort of felt that there was a film here, like there was a very strong narrative arc, and by that stage I'd built up a lot of really amazing archive photographs and film. So I entered it in the Melbourne Film Festival, and I got accepted, which was amazing. And then I realised, okay, well, if I'm going to play at MIFF and then potentially do a limited theatrical run afterwards at some of the cinemas that, you know, are interested or that we talk about in the film, then, you know, then I've got to start paying for the licences and getting music composed and getting a colour grade and audio post and all of those things. So it was then that all the costs started, you know, adding up.
Yeah. Mm. And so it's not ready. It's not finished.
It will be in it's not. It's pretty much finished, but we're doing all the post-production now.
So it's going to be part of this MIFF, this season,
fantastic.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's frightening because it's opening nights at the Capitol.
Oh, wow.
Which is just, you know, it's obviously a beautiful
venue. Yeah.
Enormous.
Perfect, really.
Perfect, but enormous. So it's scary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like after the past few years of Melburnians having what was at one point, I imagine, still might be the longest lockdown in the world, there is certainly this immense gratitude and appreciation for our city once we were able to get out back into it. And it feels really timely that you're making this film as we're, well, at the moment, stepping back and forth into Melbourne.
Yeah.
But with MIFF returning as well after the lockdowns too, it's really great.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I mean, I love that film festival anyway, and it's a real thrill to be part of it, and I've really missed it. Like, it's been really hard the last couple of years without the festival, because I think that, you know, as much as it is from a selfish perspective of not being able to see all these great films, it's also a real, you know, blight on the sort of the confidence of a city when these things get cancelled, and it's the same with all events and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. It kind of just really takes the wind out of you when these things get cancelled.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the crowdfunding's on now.
Crowdfunding's on now, yep. And we're sort of, I don't know, maybe a third of the way in,
right,
which is great.
Okay. Yep.
And, yeah.
So what platform's it on?
It's on Possible. And you can get to it from, I've made a little website for the film, which is thelostcityofmelbourne.org, and you can link to the possible page from
right. that. Okay, so people go out there and support it. Possible's a great organisation, and like when what you're doing, Gus, is such a great little film that yeah, and the cost, it's the bloody cost of making stuff, isn't it?
I know, it really is. It's and I guess it's you know when it's just your time, you don't really need to put a value on that because you know if you've got the time to put in. But yeah, there does get to a point where the ABC, National Films Archive, all those people, they want to be paid.
Yeah,
and you can't have a film full of time code, and you can't show a film without licenses. So you do have to pay them. But it's super exciting to be part of the festival. And all right.
All right. Well, brilliant. So go along and support. And also, tell us, what's the name of your picture house again?
Thornbury Picture House.
Right. And screening tonight?
Screening tonight, we've got Summer with Monica and Elvis.
Right. Oh, Elvis tonight as
Elvis
well.
Elvis is tonight, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Lovely to see you again,
yeah,
Gus.
Yeah, you too, David. And, thank you both.
And congratulations on this doco.
Thanks very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, we've been chatting with Gus Berger, who is the filmmaker, and I must say, having seen the trailer for this, it's captivating. So do jump on the website, thelostcityofmelbourne.org, and help out, because I think it's a really lovely thing, in particular for all Melburnians at the moment. And we're coming towards the end of our show, but we'll be right back with you after this song by MGMT, Electric Feel, on Goal of... Every time, David, every time, this COVID brain of mine... Joy 94.9. Unbelievable.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.